Will you get that right by your mouth, please?
Actually, my boyfriend,
now I can hear you.
I forget I have to deal with my boyfriend.
Welcome to Your Mom.
Your Mom Podcast.
Your Mom's Podcast.
This isn't any podcast. This is your mother's podcast.
My Mom's Podcast.
Ah, dude, she's your mom.
With Ashley Addison and Lisa McCaffrey.
Your mom is a podcast.
Shut up, dude.
Hello again, everybody. I'm Ashley Adamson here with my favorite Lisa McCaffrey. Welcome to Your Mom.
Your Mom.
Your Mom. This.
That was harmonized.
That was good. We've been practicing. This is a podcast celebrating the messy randomness of parenting and motherhood. In case you're just joining us, if you're new here for the first time, welcome. We're happy to have you. And the premise of the show is that we interview moms of highly successful people to hear their stories, get advice on what they did well and what they totally screwed up. And in the end, I think, Lisa, what I have found is that basically this is like a reminder to all of us that even the best moms out there that feel like they know what they're doing.
Right. Or on paper look like they knew what they were doing because their kids are so successful.
Like you. They don't.
They have no idea.
No clue.
Had no idea. Have no idea. They're just kind of winging it and going along. So that's okay if that's what they're doing.
Exactly right. It's parenting is throwing a bunch of mud at the wall and seeing what sticks.
And hopefully it comes out as a beautiful piece of art at the end that sells for millions of dollars. Because some art actually does look like
it's true. It's true. But yeah. So, hey, if you're a parent and you're listening to this, all I got to say is, we are all doing the best we can, and that is more than good enough. So that I'm going to start the episode with that caveat. And I'll also say, by way of introduction, Lisa has four amazing boys. Most notably this week, I'm going with Dylan McCaffrey, because as the third child, I don't think he gets celebrated nearly enough. That's just my guess. So I'm giving Dylan the shout out as your most notable son today. And I stay in his room when I come to visit you, and it's glorious. So he's my favorite.
Ashley, that's so funny you're saying, because he's the only kid that's in this house right now.
See, I knew it.
You knew it. It's like we have such instinct. We have such a connection. It's so weird. He's literally here right now. That's so weird. And
good. I could feel his presence. I'm glad. I'm glad. Yeah. I tell him I'm giving him a shout out. He's your most notable son to me today.
Mm-hmm. He's the tallest. He's the tallest of the group.
Yep. Okay. Great. Love Dylan.
Congratulations.
Okay. So no guest today. It's just Lisa and me. So hopefully you're still listening. We have gotten so much good feedback on our mailbag episodes that we've been doing every month. So we decided to do a little bit of a twist on this one. Instead of sourcing questions, which have been amazing, from our awesome listeners, we sourced questions from our children and a few from family members. Are good. Some are really, really, really good. And so this is a mailbag episode, the kids version.
Can I interject? I'd like to call this episode Mom Madness in honor of March Madness, because it is in March. And
I love
we have
that.
Like a conglomeration of questions, a cornucopia, if you will.
Ooh,
plethora, a bizarre feed bag of questions. So it's Mom Madness. Let's go.
Mom Madness. And you know what? It's good, because just back to the original point off the top, is that I have a friend who says that every morning getting out of the house with kids, it's like the NCAA tournament. It is just about surviving and advancing. Right. That is all it is. So I'm Mom Madness. I'm
last minute three to win the game.
Yes. Yes. Okay. And I should remind everyone that I have a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old. So obviously when I was sitting at dinner with them last night, they gave me some really thought out, beautifully worded, eloquent questions that I'm excited for you to answer. Did you want to start with, I think we should start with one of your boys' questions.
One of mine or one of yours?
Yeah, right. We'll go back and forth, and you start, and we'll both answer, and then we'll see how this all comes together. But I'm excited for this. So welcome to the Mom Madness mailbag episode.
Wow, that's a mouthful, but I love it. As parenting is basically a mouthful. Okay. This was actually a question by one of Christian's friends who he grew up playing football with, who's an awesome kid. And this was ask us a question about what you ever wanted to ask your mom. Or
so you're all sitting around last night with your boys and some of their friends, and that's where these sources. Okay, exactly. Great.
And these are accomplished kids. The one kid is an amazing UFC fighter. And the other one was, played D1 lacrosse and now coaches lacrosse and has a high powered job, really competitive job. So these are not like lazy kids. These are pretty motivated, awesome kids. And
my kids are lazy, by the way. Just don't want to throw that. So we have some questions from lazy kids and some
I was talking to these kids, my kids were asleep on the sofa, just so you know. So
perfect. Okay. No, go ahead.
I'm kidding. No, but this was a really thoughtful question and pretty quick after I asked. I was pretty impressed. So he just said, if you see your child about to fail, do you jump in and correct them or do you let them fail to teach them a lesson? Bam.
Okay, I think that is at the heart of parenting, to be honest. Do you want to go first?
Well, I'll say this. We all agreed at the table. Everybody was at the table, including Ed and everybody. We just said, obviously, if it's about safety, you absolutely intervene. And then Christian chimes in with a story of when we were in Idaho Springs on our way to the mountains. We pulled over an eight. And after dinner, it was cold and everyone was all bundled up and we were walking down the street and our car was parked across a street that had cars that were moving, not a highway, but pretty active road. And Christian saw our car and was little, mind you, and jumped into the street, ran across the street in a car. You know, you're afraid because it's cold that they're ice, had to screech on the brakes to stop from hitting him.
It's just... Even though I know Christian made it, I still like that. Yeah.
It haunts it as a parent. It just haunts you. But the best is Ed, I don't know if it's the best or the worst, you guys be the judge, but Ed ran out without missing a beat, picks him up, runs him. And there happened to be a police station across the street. I kid you not. Runs in the police station, opens the door, sits him up on the table and said, I have to turn him in. He just ran across the street without looking both ways. God bless the police officer, came to the front, played along with him and was like threatening to like, oh, you know, we might have to put you in jail. Now tell me what happened, and made him reveal. Christian's eyes were as big as saucers, shaking, freaking out. So Ed, it was obviously, it's still traumatizing to Christian this day, not the running in the street, but the thought of him actually getting arrested. Bad parenting or good parenting? You guys judge.
I'm going to say ultimate amazing parenting moment, because it clearly had an impact. You know, you always wonder as a parent, like, is what I'm saying and doing having an impact?
Yeah.
And clearly, how old was he?
That's what I was trying to figure out. I'm not sure that he was very little, but old enough to remember the incident, remember like all the details, remembers the badge at the police officer and looking at his gun, and behind them was the jail in this small town in Idaho Springs, just scared to death.
I know right where that is. Were you at Bojo's Pizza, by the way?
Yep, absolutely. You know
it. I know right where you were. I know right where you were.
The honey on the ends was so good. But he never ran in the street again.
Okay.
So I don't know.
And as far as we know, hasn't been in trouble with the law. Really,
as far as we know.
So I'm going to say great parenting and a great example of when you see your child about to fail, as long as, yes, within the realm of they're not going to do something that is going to be irreparable damage to their body, you let them, I think you try your best to let them do it. This is something that I struggle with a lot. And I think
I can't wait to ask you when your kids are teenagers what you
do. And that's, I think, the thing, because it's a total, the stakes are so much different. Like right now, And it's why I think it's important that the way I would answer this question is, I think it's important to practice when your kids are little, because they do all these things that you're like, oh my God, I can do that for you in 1 second. Like, and then we don't have to sit here for 20 minutes while you try to do whatever that is that you're trying to do. Foot. Yeah, exactly. Put your shoes on, get dressed, like pour a bowl of cereal, all of those little things that you're trying to make them self-sufficient. It is easier just to do it.
To do it.
Rather than to watch them fail. Easier. Yeah, it's hard, right? Like, it's hard to watch people fail.
Right.
If you practice it when they're little, that it becomes more innate. And I think ultimately, and I've probably talked about this at some point on one of our shows, I'm sure that I have, but my mom was a single mom and had my older brother and I, and she worked full time. She went to school full time. And there was very little, I don't want to say coddling, because that has a negative connotation, but she never checked really to see if our homework was done. She never, like, it was just, we just did it. Like, we packed our lunches, we started doing laundry when we were little, because we just had to do it. Now, I think it's changed, like every generation has started to change. And I think we do more for our kids than ever before. And so to me, I'm like, I do want them to be self-sufficient, but I struggle with this more than anything. And the real hard line is the physical part of it, because when I see them, you know, taking off on their scooter down the street, and I'm like, they are going to eat shit. Mm-hmm. And yep. I can see it coming. But there's also like me screaming and yelling, stop, wait, that's not safe for your body. Like once they fall once, they're going to remember that, you know, yeah. like they've got a helmet on, and as long as they're not cars coming, but it is hard. That is at the heart of, I think the hardest thing for me as a parent is to let your kid fail, let them struggle, let them try. And because there is such a feeling of satisfaction with them when they do it themselves. So yeah. that's what I would say. How did you feel like you did it when they were young?
Gosh, I don't know. I pull back more like, cause obviously physically you don't want them to get injured. So you want to protect right. them. And Ed was extreme on that. He was so paranoid that they were going to get hurt. So he was extreme. So I kind of backed off in that area, I'll yeah. be honest. But I was more like worried as they got older and, you know, are they hanging out with the right kids? Cause mm-hmm. that's,
I think that's,
yeah. Same time, you don't want a helicopter parent. Like, totally. And you walk in and be like, you can't be friends with them. You can't be friends with that person. Like, right. that's, you almost want them to learn from each other, yeah. you know? And there's something about having like a group and having them. I actually don't mind they have their little secrets and they, yep. you know, they have that. I think that's good for them. I think that's part totally. Of growth. And they have stuff they keep from their parents in a weird way. That's kind of a good thing. But yeah. hopefully, I just hope. Well, mine are a little bit older, but like that there are always consequences for actions. Yeah. Don't try to, like, if your kid, like, let's say Colin goes and cheats or gets in trouble, that there are going to be consequences for that.
Yes.
So that they don't do it future later on. Like, it may hurt and be really hard at the time.
They need to understand.
Right. That there are consequences. Like, yeah, this has, you know, whatever you do, it's going to have repercussions. So I don't know. I think that's right.
Lesson, and it's easy, especially when you're in a situation. And I think I see a lot of it happen with parents is that they swoop in so that their kid doesn't get in trouble, so that they don't get that bad mark, or that their transcript looks good, or that they, you exactly. know, they have to get this grade because they got to get into this school. I mean, we saw all the stuff happen with Varsity Blues. Like, we could do a whole episode on how parents get involved with their kids. And it's just, they got to figure it out on their own. And I was talking to a Stanford professor a few years ago, and she just said, I've never seen, it's like a crisis of, and this was probably about 5 years ago. She said, it's not that kids are, you know, over the top, like think that they know what they're doing. It's the opposite. They come to college and they are so ill prepared. They don't even know, like, if their roommate says something mean to them, they completely melt down. If they get a B minus on a test, it's like their world is over.
What's a B minus? I don't even know. What's
B minus? Someone who went to Stanford who never got a B minus.
Joking, completely joking. Yes.
But I do. I think it's that's fine line. Did you ever make any of your kids break up with any of their friends? Was there anyone that you said they can't hang out with?
There was a few along the way that I was nervous about, and there was at a young age, mind you, I love all of their girlfriends right now, so let's not get to go to TMZ. Mm-hmm. But no, way back in the day when they were younger, just starting to get into girls, there were some girls that I felt were trouble, and that's so horrible. Yeah. I don't want to say you can't date them, they can't date them, but there were some girls that I remember giving a lecture to one of them and just saying, hey, look, these are some red flags. Just telling you this. But the worst thing to do is say you can't date that person, because then they'll gravitate to him too. It's almost like they do need to learn for themselves, but you just have to be careful with consequences, because you just,
I live with them. It's hard, right?
It's a fine line. It's such a hard, and you'll see as they get older, it's harder. My friend's daughter's a fifth grade teacher, her first year teaching fifth grade. Mm. And so I was asking her, she has about 20 kids in her class, and she says, I was just asking her general percentage number. She said, there's about 8 that are really easy to teach. They'll make a mistake. They can work through it. And she said, those are the parents they go to the parent teacher conferences. They're not calling if they get a bad grade every 5 seconds, but they show up, they're present. And then she said, you have the one extreme that have the helicopter parents. Mm-hmm. And those kids, they talk back. They don't have a boundary for adults. They don't realize that, you know, this is a teacher. If they don't like something, they'll talk back and they'll get their way no matter what. And their parents will back them up, even if they're in the wrong. Then you have the other extreme where both parents are working. They're basically non-existent. They don't show up for parent-teacher conferences. And she said, those are really hard to teach as well. And she just said, because I was like asking, you know, analyzing it, and after everything, you know, what do you think of your mom? Her mom's my best friend. So I'm like, hey, where'd your mom screw up? Because I know where she screwed up and she knows where I screwed up. We laugh about it to this day with our kids. But anyway, she was funny. But she just said, no, that they, it's just, those, you have those two extremes, but the ones in the middle, and she did say this too. Sorry, Ashley, but she did say that usually the youngest kids are the best kids, the youngest kids in the family that have older siblings, because they'll also teach them along the way too. And they'll, you know, through watching how they live their life, or the older kids will kind of not bully, but, you know, say, oh, you're doing that wrong. You're doing that wrong. And it's easier for a sibling to say it than a parent sometimes.
Totally. I think it's the more you get more adjusted, you know, like the younger kids have dealt with. And also they don't have the total focus of both parents. I mean, that's the perfect example, right? Like,
right.
We always joke about, I have a friend who said that with the four, you know, yeah, if you have four kids, you got to have four kids, because the first is basically like a throwaway.
No, right.
I don't mean that, Max. I don't mean that. Max, well, you're not a throwaway. We love you.
No.
No, but it is, because you put so much energy. You're so afraid of screwing them up.
Absolutely.
That, like,
I was the worst parent. Looking back on with Max, we overparented. I was so nervous. I was so afraid to mess it up that I overdid it. I always said the best thing that ever happened to Max was having Christian, Dylan, and Luke. You know, that just, it just took the pressure off a lot. Still a lot of pressure, but we took a lot off. So,
and Luke is super well adjusted. You know, Luke is sweet baby angel Luke.
Luke, perfect. Who's so independent and so easy to talk to. You know what he said? Well, I don't know. He was analyzing some of his friends. He has a cute girlfriend who's awesome, and he was saying he's noticed that girls in general, not necessarily his girlfriend, but just in general, because he has a bunch of friends that are girls too. They play sports and whatnot. Because girls in general, I think, have a very hypersensitive or a neurotic relationship with their moms. They said girls and moms have a relationship as they get, especially as they get older. And that's a very touchy thing. And
yes,
you know, he just said it's hot. He goes, I'm starting to learn that, because they never had sisters, so they don't know. But he just said, you know, what I love about this generation of kids is they completely open up and they talk about their feelings and they talk about the way they were raised and they talk about ailments or things that are bothering them. And I think that's so healthy to do. And he comes back home from college and it's a little different than like what Max and Christian used to do. And it's so great, because he'll talk about it. And it's, you know, you realize that people that look like they're so perfect and everything's, you know, so great, they're vulnerable and they have issues. Everybody has issues. And, you know, my goodness, let's talk about it. It's normal.
Totally agree. I think Luke is spot on. There is a lot of, I don't know a single, even my girlfriends who have like wonderful relationships with their moms and are super tight, there's always a dynamic, right? There just is. And I can say the same thing for my mom, and I am at a stage of appreciation in life for my mom that's higher than I've ever had. So shout out to you, Mom. We're going to, by the way, next month for Mother's Day, I'll give a little tease. We're going to hear from both Lisa's mom, Big Mama, who's amazing. And we're also going to have an episode with my mom. So stay tuned for that. You'll see why we're so weird. And, you know, I think everything will make a lot more sense.
Like you said, you understand a child after you meet their mom in particular, but their parents.
You understand why they're nuts.
Why they're crazy. Why they're, Okay,
we're not going to get through any more.
Yeah. I mean, oh, sorry. Yeah. That was another.
It was a great question.
Wasn't that a great question? I know.
It was a great question. And it is. It's the one thing that I think about and try the hardest to, you know.
Yeah. It's difficult. And each age and stage, you have a different answer for that too.
There was there was a book I read. The last thing I'll say is that there was a book I read one time that I try and harken back to. And it's Coddling of the American Mind. It speaks to exactly a lot of what we're talking about. But one of the things that it recommends is, every month, like, we think that kids are stuck in the ages that they are. So we do all these things for them, because we still see them as these little 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 5-year-olds. But that every month or 2 months, you should be having your kid do something that they haven't done before. And it can be something small, like take a walk around the block, or go take out the garbage, or just do these little things. Yeah. Just tiny things that.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Because then they feel good about being able to do it. And all they want is independence and to feel like they can do it on their own. So
there's a speech on Modern Family. Did you ever see the TV show Modern Family?
I did, but I don't know the speech.
You ever see the speech? Oh my gosh, we have to put it on somehow. It's so good. It's the dad, it's right after they adopt Lily, and the dad comes in and gives this speech. It's the most beautiful speech, talking about how you have this baby, you fall in love with the folds and the baby, and you just get used to the baby stage, and then all of a sudden they become like a toddler and they're giggling and you fall in love with their giggle and their personality, and then you're like, oh, that's so neat. And then the next stage, they're a kid, they're running around, you're like so impressed, they're making friends and becoming social, and you know, in each stage you're losing what you thought was what they were going to be forever.
Yes.
But you're also gaining a new stage. You're gaining something else. And then eventually they get older and then you have to like let go a little bit too. Mm-hmm. Each stage you're letting go a little bit too. So anyway, yeah. So we're kind
I
of
love like, that. No, and I think that's
beautiful speech. Go look at it on YouTube or online. It's so neat. It made me, I've watched it twice now. It made me
we'll
cry.
Link to it. We'll link to it in the show notes. I'll make a note right here to link to it. Okay. Okay. Now on to should we do a Collins question?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. I'll start with Cora. So I asked both of them at dinner last night for their, and I guess these are combined. So Collins, his first question is, how do you drive a train? That was number one on his list. Cora's first question was, how do you ride a train with a snowblower on top of the roof? So I'm going to let you take.
I'll do Collins because I did YouTube that. And after YouTubing it, Collins, I realized I think I could be a conductor. I don't want to toot my own horn or brag or anything, but
you'd be such a hot A.
I look good in the hat. I like the outfit. They're comfortable. You know, they're like
overalls. Do you get to wear
overalls?
Like,
yeah.
Kind of like coveralls.
I look pretty good, which I wore every pregnancy nonstop because it was in back then. Thought I looked so
cute. Did you have one? Did you do like the one, like the one shoulder off?
Sometimes just to, mix it up a little.
Spicing it up. Yeah. Okay.
Oh yeah, it was a cat's meow back then. Anyway, so I honestly, after looking it up, it really, really wasn't that hard. Like I was thinking, is there a key? You wonder, like people joke, is there a key to the airplane? According to the YouTube video I watched, there was not a key. You literally turned the almost like the propellers on, and then you took it out of neutral and it would just go. And you could by turning one thing, it just went faster. But think about it, there's no steering wheel.
Right.
Steer it. So you could do that. And I could sit back and read a book or file my nails, and I know, and you also have to, don't you have to every now and then stop? I mean, obviously at a station you have to stop, but aren't there
railroads? I think on your train, I think you just slow down and let them run jump off. Hey, I'm slowing down everybody off.
Just do a nice roll.
It's like when I drop Collins off at in the carpool. Cool. I'm like, perfect, I'm going to slow down. You just open the door and go.
You make sure there's no buses coming by and you just push him out. Exactly. Perfect. He's got to learn. He's got to learn how to jump out and roll. My goodness.
Yeah. It's life skills, And that's
it's life. Right.
It's just trying to prepare.
Stop coddling your kids.
Yeah. Don't prepare the path. Prepare the kid for the path. Yeah. That's
exactly. Anyway, after looking it up, I felt confident.
You're going to be a conductor.
Yeah, I could. I know.
Okay.
It wasn't as hard. I know. No.
I just really love that you were watching a YouTube video on how to drive a train. That nothing has made me happier than that. Collins would be so excited.
Very enlightening. Anyway,
okay. I guess the answer, that's a great answer. The for Cora, how do you ride a train with a snowblower on top of the roof? I think you just do it. I think you just get on the train.
I'd be worried though, if you went into a tunnel, would the snowblower get...
Yep.
You'd have to make sure you were in an area where you didn't go through tunnels that would knock it off. So anyway, that would be my worries. That's what I'd stay up late worrying about.
Yeah. All right. Well,
if anyone has any answers,
if you guys have better answers than we have to those, we'd love to hear them. So please leave us, a review.
I have a really good chicken pot pie recipe I can give you, but I don't know about the snowblower on top of the train.
Can I do another Cora one real quick? This was a good one.
Yes. Yeah, please.
And it started off, I thought great. And then she kept going. So this is Cora, my 3-year-old. What is it like to be a mama? I thought that was
bold.
She was going to say, and I'm like, so good. But it was, what is it like to be a mama in the daytime when you're not awake and you bonked your head?
Whoa. You're not. So wait, so you're a mom. I assume it's like a mom, but you pass out.
Well, that's like, so. That's the thing. I think I was trying to do some psychoanalysis on this one, and it's possible that
Mommy
she's asking what
again.
It's like
she
to be a mom when you're hungover in the daytime, you're not awake, and it's like you bonked your head. And so, Cora, the answer is it is really hard because all you want is a dark room with silence, and that's the one thing that you really can't get when you're a mom. So it is hard to be a mama with a hangover, I think that's the answer she's looking for. One day when she listens to this, when she's older and she's playing it for
she's
her therapist,
trying to figure out why mommy's asleep on the sofa every day. My mommy
what is it like to be a mama? First I was like, what is it like to be a mama? That's such a nice question. In the daytime when you're not awake and you bonked your head. So
Cora, 555-7676 social services.
Okay, now that we've got those two out of the way, on to one of the another question from your family.
Okay, this was one from Christian, which actually made me sad that he had to ask this. he along the lines of being a terrible mom. Oh, so he said it. What are the best qualities in a son from a mom's perspective, or how can a son make his mom happy? And I'm like, so right away, want to know what I thought of? I thought of the Prince lyrics. You're like my mother. She's never satisfied. That's what I thought right when he said that. I'm like, fuck, wow. I'm the worst mom ever. Cause I'm like, in my head, I didn't ask this. I didn't go there. So I'm like, shoot, does he feel like I'm not proud of him?
Yeah.
That was my reaction. I'm like, well, and then I thought of freaking Prince singing, like, yeah, my mom, she's never satisfied. Like, shoot. Like,
okay. Well, let's start there. Are you proud of him?
Obviously. I go from like, I'm so proud of him. I'm proud of all of them, but like, yeah. I also don't want them to get a big head. Cause I feel like he does get a lot of accolades. So, you know, I want to like, well, and then I started looking back. I'm like, I think I was the most happy when I'd see them doing something kind and nice. Like he did the video, for the little boy who's sick. Yes. That I was like welled up with pride, but that was like amazing. You know, like things like that when I see him doing things and giving back. And so I'm very proud of that when I see that. And the fact that he can make someone's day by signing a piece of paper, like what the heck?
He realizes he's one of those superstars who made it, who really realizes what the kindness that you can give a stranger, what it can do for somebody and especially a kid. So that I think, I don't know if that answered his question. So what the best qualities in a son from a mom's perspective?
Yeah, but aside from that, like I'm proud of him. He's like, first of all, I have to say, when I watch him play, I'm so proud of him. Just, I mean, I have to say that his effort and what he's able to do is amazing. He amazes me, but I don't want, you know, constantly tell him that he gets that from him. But aside from that, just even our day to day, like I talk to him almost every day on the phone. I share things with him that I like, don't even share with Ed. I'm so thankful that I've raised a kid that I like to be with. How about that? That I want to call, that I want to share things with, and I want to hear about him and his life and what he's doing. Like, I don't know. I guess I'm proud of that. And all of them though, I am proud because I think those are my happiest times. It's not like some exotic vacation. It's literally just hanging out in my kitchen with my kids, even if it's two of them or one of them, whatever. But Christian in particular, I you know, cause he's not here that much. He's here now, but, I just love when he's home. It makes my week, my life. I love it.
Oh, Lisa, you're getting me over here.
Sorry, I know.
No, I think that that's a beautiful way to say it, is that you want to raise a kid that you want to be with and that hopefully wants to be with you. And the only thing I would add, I think that in terms of the best qualities in a son from a mom's perspective, is that they're engaged, like to feel it's reciprocated, that they understand and acknowledge what you have hopefully poured into them and that some of that mattered and that they care and are engaged and want to know about you and your life. So you talk about the conversations you have with Christian and how special those are. It's easy to think of your parents, and this is true for daughters, sons, whatever, as kind of like, oh, they're checking in on me and I got to call them. I got to do this. But when you actually flip it and realize as you get older, like, oh man, I am so lucky to have this relationship with this person who is more invested in me than anyone else on the planet will ever be. Like my parents are going to love me more than anyone else on the planet, period.
That's true. That
and
is so
and
true.
Once you realize that, when you have your own kids and you realize like, oh my gosh, it's really special. And I think great question by Christian, no surprise, and great answer by you. All right. Okay. Because we could make this like a 3-hour podcast, but I won't. We've got a couple more that we'll get to and then we'll wrap it up. Back to Collins. I said, do you have any questions specifically for Lisa? Because they really started to kind of get off on the train thing. And I said, do you have any questions specifically for Lisa?
Sure.
And his two questions for you is, how fun is it making the podcast?
Love it.
And how fun is it being together with Ashley? And whenever he says my name, like my real first name, he just dissolves into laughter. He thinks it's the funniest thing that awesome. His mom has a name.
That she has a name. That you're another, that you're actually a human
being. I have another identity.
You're not just the incubator. You're actually a human. He's trying to come to terms with that, it seems. He's trying to realize.
Laughing. I know. Ashley, so how fun is it being together with Ashley? Ashley.
What do your kids think when they see you on TV? Like, do you ever show them like,
they love it. Yeah. I think Chris will put mom, you know, he'll put stuff on sometime and they love it. I think I've maybe told this story, but for a while, the only time that like sports was ever on at our house when I wasn't home was when, They were watching, you know, my show on the road or whatever it was. And so when Collins was really little, this is like one of my favorite stories. Chris said that he put on, we must've put on TNT or something, some NBA coverage, and Shaq was talking and he just looks at the screen. He goes, "Mama," like, there she is. Because he just equated somebody just sitting at a dinner
talking about sports.
Oh, that's got to be my mom. That's the only person.
I mean, you guys are like twins. It's
I mean, Jack and I are very, I think just like it's we're basically the same person in a lot of ways. So I could see how his young mind would make that confusion, but I was dying laughing. So yeah, they are just starting to realize what I do for work. And I think they think that it's cool.
You know what? I think Collins was trying to tell us he wants Shaq's mom on the podcast.
Which is a great idea. We should.
That would be amazing. Thank you, Collins.
Thanks, Collins. Love you, buddy.
He's running the podcast.
He really is. Yeah.
He does it subtly, but he's sending us messages. Let's manifest Shaq's mom now. Let's go.
Done. All right. I'm writing it down. Add that to the list.
Love it.
So Collins, the answer is making the podcast is the most fun thing that I have done in a very long time. It's like one of those things that requires a lot of work. And then when you're doing it, like right now I am having a freaking blast. I can't think of a better way to spend a random rainy Tuesday than chatting through all the stuff with you. And I think it leads you to think about some stuff, right? Like the conversations you were having last night with your boys and their friends. It's when you have a specific platform and you are intentional about asking these questions, it leads to those conversations. So it's obviously been a huge gift for me.
Yeah. I ditto exactly what you said. It is a blast and it makes you a little introspective and it makes me think and try to improve even my parenting now on how to do it. You really think about it and think, okay, what can I do better? You know, like this, like, oh, I feel bad. Maybe I don't tell him that I'm proud of him enough or them. Like, maybe I need to be, you know, like, okay, I've humbled him enough.
I think you've humbled enough.
Yeah. I think maybe I should be kinder. Yeah.
You got that. I think so.
No, but it is. It's the most fun thing that I do all week. I look forward to everybody, like all the kids' friends are like, hey, you do a podcast. Yeah. I'm like, it's so fun.
Okay, we've got time for one more question. So what do you got from do you have any more that from your boys that you want to get to? There were a lot of good ones. Because if not, I've got one more.
Oh, well, I mean, I have this one was from my friend. First off, this is my friend whose mom passed away. And so she I asked her, I'm like, she just said, you know, hey, appreciate your moms that are alive. She goes, one thing I said, oh, you know, what do you wish you could have asked your mom when she was alive? And she goes, I wish I would have asked her more questions about her life when she was growing up, when she started dating, you know, did you go to a prom? What was, you know, did you go to, you know, what was college like? Just things. And it's so fascinating to hear because it's so different. Every generation, it's a little different than the next. So anyway, she just said to do that. So reminder to do that. And she just said, she was funny. She's like, why are certain kids driven and why are some aren't? Mm.
You know, I think that's just the hardwiring, Lisa. I think that you can want your kid to be driven. And I do think that sometimes there are certain circumstances that happen in somebody's life that they have more of an edge to them. And there is like a drive to prove people right or wrong. I think it is all about nature and nurture.
And some of it's unhealthy
and some of it is totally. Yeah. I think that's true. I think there are some people who are really driven who, you know, I think it's like, wow, just can you pull back and enjoy your life?
Calm down a little bit. But then you hear their story and you're like, oh, that's why they're like that.
Exactly.
Oh, I have to say Christian's, you know, since he's been home, he's been talking about some stories of some teammates from, you know, other teams in his current team I want to get these kids on. Their stories, you guys, like are in like literally going from foster care to foster home and end up making it in the NFL, you know, playing for millions of dollars. And it literally, he was telling me some of the stories and I was in tears. I just, you know, you hear it, but just to hear that which guys are like that. And it's heart-wrenching, but also enlightening because they've made it and it's amazing. And, you know, they've had no guidance from their parents, you know, I would love to get them on and find out, how did you figure out, you know, who helped you along the way? You have to have help. You have to, you're a kid.
Yep.
So, I mean, I was tearing up on some of the stories. So anyway, that's another podcast.
Yeah,
so,
no, yeah, I think,
driven, but then some of their brothers and sisters weren't.
Right.
And that's another interesting thing. Same parents, but, you know, kind
same
of like
circumstances.
Yeah, same circumstances. And I just want to make it
same
in one
resources.
Dozen.
And that goes back to something I know that I've said on here that I will repeat because I think it's important for everybody to hear and for me to remind myself is that my dad always says you can't take too much credit or too much blame for how your kids turn out because it is each their own person. You can help them along the way, but ultimately, like, everyone is responsible for their own happiness and what their path is. And you got to be there to support them. And ultimately, they have to choose. And that is a really hard thing to come to terms with. But it's the only, I mean, it's why you can have a kid who goes on to be, in some ways, the most successful, you know, soccer player in the world, and right. also have a son who has struggled with major drug addiction and been in and out of jail, and whose life took a very different path. So right. I do think it is like a way to remind yourselves of grace. And it also allows, when I think really hone down and think about that, it kind of allows me to just like step back, because I'm like, I'm not, no matter what I do, like, I just have to love them, and I'm going to do things that are not great, and I'm going to do some things that are hopefully good. And it is Collins and Cora, it is up to them as to how their lives are going to go. And I'm going to give them everything that I can to sort of launch them. But like, ultimately, they got to choose what they want. And that's, I think, the scariest part about being a parent, because all you want is your kid to be happy and succeed and do well and find fulfillment in whatever form that looks like. So
amen.
That's what I would say to that. The very last thing, because I think your friend brings up an amazing point about asking your parents questions. And Chris, my husband, he had one for us, as I asked him last night before we went to bed. I said, what's one question that you have? And he said, if you could interview one mom, dead or alive, who would it be and why? And to me, I had like immediately two different answers to this. One was, I don't know why this popped in my head immediately, but Betty White's mom, like the late, great Betty White. I'm obsessed with her. I think she is amazing on so many levels. And I was reading about her mom, and I would be fascinated to sit down with both Betty White and Betty White's mom. That would probably
be amazing. I love Betty White. I didn't even think of that, but that would be amazing.
I don't know why. Wouldn't that be just so great? And then to Stacey's point, your friend's point, I think I would want to interview some of the moms in my family who I never got to meet. My mom was just telling me the other day, and I've heard some stories, but I don't really know much about like my great grandmothers. So, you know, Clara Hogan, Celia Earhart. I think about these women who I've heard their names and I've seen pictures
of. Celia
Earhart,
is she related to Amelia?
No, different spelling, but maybe. Okay. Yeah, she probably flew a plane. Anyway, I just don't know about it.
The spelling when she came.
You know what you realize though, because when you have, and I think this is the hard, sad thing, and this is why we need to ask our parents and grandparents questions and write them down so that their stories do live on, because it's like two generations go by and all of a sudden, you know, my kids aren't really going to know my grandmother, who is so, so formative in my life. And so how do you keep those memories alive and those stories so that you understood where you come from? So that's who I would go back and interview.
On our website, a list of good questions to ask.
Yes.
And just write a couple down in there. Let's do that. Let's have like some target questions. And if any of you or listeners out there have any questions they want to add to this list, please, because I'm always looking for questions. So I've started to try to do this with my mom, and every now and then I'll ask like a little question.
And isn't it amazing? Just you think that you've known her your whole life and that you've talked about everything. And then all of a sudden you ask a question and it's like, oh, I had no idea.
Completely. So it humanized my mom. It made me think of her as a little girl, as her as a teen, her as a college student, and then as a mom, as a new mom. I'm like, wow, she went through a lot of the same things I did. So
exactly. And you don't see it. You don't. It's hard to see them that way until you actually ask the questions. I'm going to give a plug for a company called Storyworth that basically they organize this for you. So you sign up, and I did this for my dad and my stepmom. You basically send them, you sign them up for a membership, and every week they get a question, and it's generated either through the company or you can pick your own, and they answer every week one question, and they're really cool. Some of them are really big picture and some of them are smaller, but every single week there's something, and after a year, they put together a book so that all of those memories and observations live somewhere, and you can buy as many copies as you want. But
I'm doing that.
It's a really cool story worth. Go look it online. They're not a sponsor of ours yet, but I'm going to.
They're going to be after this. Have you ever done Ancestry DNA or any of that stuff?
I did 23andMe. Yes.
You did?
Fascinating.
Yeah. Did you get details? I would be more preoccupied, not really where people are from, but like what their life was like.
Yes.
Like,
yes. Well, and you know who else I would add to the list of moms I would want to interview? My dad was adopted, and the grandmother who I've talked about, Mary Adamson, who passed away 2 years ago, was like one of the most formative women in my life. But his mother, his biological mother, I should say, we've found out a lot more about her. And again, maybe we'll have another podcast about that another day. But that her story is incredible, and finding out some of the connections. And when I looked at the ancestry in 23andMe, I'm like, wow, I've got all of these second cousins that live in Pennsylvania.
Wow.
Or that, yeah, like, yeah, Lancaster, PA.
We've got maybe you're related to Ed.
I might be related to Ed. It's true. We might be like third cousins or something. So I'm so fascinated by all of that. And I think I'd add that to the list too. But yeah, it's making sure that people know that their stories matter, and making sure that we are able to encapsulate them and share them, I think is something that we don't do well enough in our culture, and that other cultures do really well, that we should do. I love that idea. I'm going to write some questions down on our website.
Right. I know, but everybody has a story. Everybody has something fascinating. Yeah, they really do. Like, really do. So,
okay, Lisa, I'm already like late for a meeting. No. So this, our hour together is over.
It's important. All right. No, not. Again, do you want me to like entertain Cora and Collins on this?
Yeah, would you do that? Because they're just in the other room on a screen. So let me, Collins, Cora. They're actually running the internet in the basement. They're like,
they're running on a treadmill that's generating the power for this podcast.
And they're not going quite fast enough because I've lost connection a couple times. So
okay, go do your important stuff. Okay.
I love you. This,
I'm going to go disappoint
Christian.
This was
an amazing, yeah, go humble Christian. Make sure that he knows that there's still some things he could do better. That is an incredible question. Shout out to you. Shout out to all your boys.
Shout out to you. Now I know how to drive a freaking train.
Good. Hell yeah.
Thank you, Collins.
You're going to be I'm going to ride that train.
Your mom drives a train.
Come on, ride that train.
Yep. We need a your mom conductor hat. Okay. Then Collins would think we were like the cat's meow.
That's what we've been doing.
Let's do it.
See you next week, everybody.